listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Second hour of the program getting underway right now. You know, for as nice as this new studio is, these headphone jacks leave a lot to be desired. Not going to lie. The studio is tremendous. Love the studio. Love the little mic condoms we got going on here. Safety first.
Safety first.
Safety first.
I kind of miss the sex bear and the sofa.
Yes,
though.
I do miss.
The big giant bear and the sofa.
Yeah, yeah. No, that, you know what? Because there was kind of a casting couch-like vibe in the previous studio.
Oh, I see why we had to change it.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you just, and maybe that's why they needed T. Scott to overhaul the intern program. Again, we left.
Allegedly.
But they brought us back.
They keep pulling me
But
back.
Again, and shout out to AJ for being so kind to bring us back on over here.
Absolutely.
At ESPN 97.5. We've had a fun time so far, and hopefully we can make this a regular occurrence. When I don't mind filling in at this stage of my radio career. The grind that it takes to do radio day in, day out, and especially in today's. See, the thing that worries me the most about doing terrestrial radio on a day-to-day basis is there's just so many people that get their feelings hurt so easily.
Yeah, you don't worry about that.
Now, well, you do a little bit.
Nah, not really.
You do a little bit.
I mean,
listen, they're ready to tear down Mount Rushmore, for God's sakes.
Oh, come on. It's a mountain. Leave it alone. Well, it's a damn mountain.
They stole it from the Indians.
You think they're going to find all that gold inside of it? In that one movie.
What was that movie? Was that a Nicolas Cage movie?
Yes. Yeah.
Listen, if Nicolas, I think we need to confer with Nicolas Cage on this. Is what we need to do.
They're not going to find anything because they're not going to tear it down.
I hope not.
Too much work went into it.
Listen, there's a lot of work that's been going in and nothing's
just saying. It's a mountain.
Nothing.
We're going to blow up a mountain.
Right now. The only thing that's safe right now is the fact that if you're good friends with Will Smith, there's a good chance you can hit his wife. And I don't mean physically.
You got to be more better friends with her.
Where are you at with Jada? Where does Jada fall for you? Where are you at on the Jada Pinkett scale?
She's up there. She's in the...
Do you believe the report that back in the day... what was that movie? Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Janet Jackson. Never mind.
Wow. Really?
I'm thinking of Janet Jackson. I forgot that her and Tupac were good friends. I was thinking of the story
very
from Poetic
friends.
Justice.
Yeah.
Where allegedly the love scene got... She wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Too bad.
Because of Tupac.
Yeah.
Hating.
Hate.
Hating on my boy.
She'd have learned a thing or two.
She might have.
She might have.
Tell you what.
Might have went a different way for her.
Ain't no telling.
Yeah.
Ain't no, hell, Michael might still be alive.
I see. You're stretching it now. I don't even know how close they were.
At one time, I thought they were the same person. Okay. Here's what I'm going to say.
This guy here. Good gracious. All right.
You know why I think the Rockets are poised to make a run?
Tell us, Fred. Why?
When's the knock on James Harden is always that he's exhausted.
At the end of the season, exactly.
When the season rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's had 3 months to just stay in shape. Now, I get it, basketball shape and you know, playing, practicing, what have you, is a totally different beast than when games actually start.
Right.
And they're going to have, a two-week training camp type deal to get ready for the start of the season and get, roll back into it. But you've got essentially a two-week period to get ready, and then you're going to have an eight-game season. And then, obviously, you'll roll into the season, you'll roll into the playoffs.
Right.
And... for my money, with the way the Rockets are constructed right now, our boy Thabo Sefolosha opted out, mm-hmm. not going to Orlando, all right, not mad at you for it. And so Daryl Morey pounced on Luke Mambute, who they had a couple years ago.
Okay.
Great defender, okay, does exactly what they need to do, is a role player, knows what his, knows his role, knows what he needs to do for that offense. And, of course, they were small balling it up. And, of course, now, with the addition of Robert Covington, who, we forget, it seems like it's been forever and a day since we've seen basketball. But, the Robert Covington move that had happened right around the trade deadline. And, of course, again, everything kind of fell off not shortly thereafter. But what you've got right now defensively, okay, is, Bob Mute, Robert Covington, P.J. Tucker, All right. You know what you're going to get out of Russ. You know what you're going to get out of James Harden. Or do you know what you're going to get out of James Harden, especially considering now, again, this is a guy that's going to have as little rust and, I mean, well, playing
fatigue.
Rust. Fatigue, exactly, that we've never seen from a James Harden.
At the end of the season.
At the end of the season going into the playoffs.
Well, they're poised. They have two of the most dynamic offensive players. They're going to play small ball. Nobody knows what to expect from them.
Yeah.
They can run all day. They can go. I mean, it's like early mid-season James Harden is what you're going to get, where he's putting up the numbers, winning games for you, and now it's at the end of the season. Because you know at the end of all the seasons when he just not there in the playoffs,
yeah.
And you have to contribute to how much he does in during the season, which is not a short season. It's a long season, and he's at that fatigue part of his of the season.
Right.
But now he's going in. You only got, what, eight, 10 games?
He said 8 games.
8 games you go in the playoffs? Ooh, baby, it's going to be exciting.
And not to mention, too, I mean, let's look at it this way. There's no telling what's going to happen with this Rockets team after right. this year's over. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with the with where sports are going to head after this. I mean, again, they're going to continue. We know that much. But what's going to be the, you know, the dynamic? What's going to happen to the salary cap? What's going to happen to, you know, collective bargaining, especially in baseball? I mean, there's so many different factors, so many different variables that are going to go into the season afterwards.
Here's my question to you two guys. What, when you win a championship in basketball, baseball in 2020, do we call it something? Do we put an asterisk by it? I mean, I know you're a big Bulls fan and you try to put an asterisk by the Rockets 2 championship. Doesn't work.
Well, I'm not the only one.
Yeah. You're the,
did you watch The Last Dance?
Really? The Last Dance?
I was trying to find, because, you know, we've had a lot of time during quarantine to do, you know, just kind of hang out. I'm still looking for that 10-part documentary on the Rockets 2 championships.
It's coming. It's coming. It's not going to be 10. It's not going to be 3.
3776.
We can do it all in 3 parts.
Where can I find that at?
Yeah, we're gonna have it out in 3 parts.
I heard it's on YouTube.
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet. But I mean, anyways, if you win a championship, yes. Baseball, basketball, what?
This year, is it tainted?
Yeah, is it tainted because of the corona tainted?
No, I wouldn't say. In the NBA, I'd say no. I mean,
but it's 8 games. 8 games and then playoffs.
Well, they've also played 70 already,
okay.
Or 65, whatever. I mean, the NBA season, I mean, we were already going down the home stretch of the NBA season anyway. Okay. So, I mean, I don't, this idea that we have to put an asterisk next to the NBA championship is silly to me. Baseball, I don't know that you need an asterisk per se, but you need like one of those little, like, kind of modified crosses, like, hey, we, you know, this thing called the Rona.
Just to denote that something happened.
Good use of the word denote. I don't think the word denote gets enough recognition for what
it means. I thought that was somebody's name. My bad.
Denote. That's why they call me D-Nice. No, you definitely need to denote the fact that, and you can, I'll tell you what, you can denote that the NBA season was interrupted. The NBA is going to bounce back from this, though, is as well positioned to bounce back from this as any other sport, simply because the NBA needed to change their season anyway.
Okay.
All right, the NBA needed to change their season. Them starting in this kind of sets them up to start things in December, if I'm not mistaken. All right, and so if you can start your season in 2020, or excuse me, go into the 2020-21 season, and by starting it in December now,
all right,
now the majority of your season, you don't have to contend. Or, well, let's put it this way: the start of your season, you don't have to contend with the NFL. I mean, okay, but let's put it this way. You do...
From December to February.
For a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas...
And then the NFL is only going to be at that time playing what they're being the playoff run.
You get, so. Yeah, you get your playoff run, but
you
my
got
point...
5 games, 4 games.
But when you start the season in October, there's 3-4 months that nobody gives a damn. Okay? I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, nobody... I mean, the old adage is nobody cares about the NBA until Christmas.
Till football's over.
Okay, right. So so basically, you lose 3 months. Everybody tunes in on Christmas Day because what else is there on? And then you tune back out again until after the Super Bowl. Whereas now, you start the season. I mean, listen, nobody cares about the first month of the NBA season anyway. It's like you said, it's an 82-game, you know, much like baseball, it's an 82-game season. I'm not worried about what happens in the first month of the NBA season.
Okay.
I'm really not. Are you?
Not particularly.
Tyler, you ever, you know, you get your, you get your, you know, licking your chops for that first four or five games of the NBA year?
Does not concern me.
Of course it doesn't, all right? But if NFL finishes early February, that's it.
Yeah.
You're
locked in.
Now we're hitting second month of the NBA. Now we're going to get into the, you know, start getting into the nitty gritty a little bit. Your All-Star game is going to be probably somewhere in what, March, April. So it's going to coincide with the NFL offseason. All right. So, you know,
March Madness and back college.
March Madness. So maybe you can feed into that a little bit more because, again, you know, the guys that still do go to college in some extent. All right. You're going to have that little rivalry that you can go and kind of play off of a little bit. So not to say that it doesn't happen already, but I just feel like with it being in the infant, you know, being in the early part. And then, of course, now the doldrums of summer, which were once toiled through by baseball, now you've got NBA to kind of, you know, cleanse your palate and fill that up until, you know, right up until baseball starts until football starts. So to me, the NBA is in a good way. I mean, like I said, they're very well positioned to bounce back from this thing when things get to some semblance of normalcy.
Okay. And now that we're recovering.
Yeah.
When do you think that will be?
That's a great question, Henry, and I'll tell you what, we'll get to that on the other side. He's right. Henry Thomas. I'm Fred Davis. That's T. Scott. This is the HD Show, filling in for the bitch on ESPN
97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hello? What the deal?
I got two phones.
You're listening to The Bitch on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Two phones, baby. Welcome back in. We are the HD Show, filling in for The Bench. I am that dude, Henry Thomas, and my man, that baritone voice you've been listening to for the past hour and some change. Nobody but our man from Topeka,
T.O.P.,
loves everything Kansas. That's Fred
mostly,
Davis.
Mostly everything Kansas. Not everything. Most.
Really? Why you always got to bring your baby mamas into this?
First of all, there's only one.
That's only one. That's
first of all, there's only one, and she may be listening. All right? She may be listening.
We know you still like her.
Huh?
I got
nothing but love.
Got nothing but love.
For Jennifer. Nothing but love Jenny. For Jennifer. Absolutely. Her and my son are out fishing this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that dude fishing.
Of course you can't. I can't imagine him fishing.
Only way I could see him fishing if he was swimming with a spear gun.
That's about it. He's one of them little turds. You know, what's that where they go look for catfish and they stick their arm in?
Yeah, noodling.
Noodling. Yeah. That's about it. That's about as far as I can see him going. So, You posed the question. Of course, it's Shout Out Thursday, # Shout Out Thursday. By the way, you can find us on Twitter as well. And apparently we're on Twitch. I did not know.
I don't know anything about. I'm that old dude.
Listen, we got to step up our game, Henry Thomas. Twitch. You know, for those of you that don't know, we also do our podcast as well, which we haven't slowed down on. And, of course, we made an addition to our podcast. Shout out to the one, the only, Bitter Mike. Who may or may not be listening. He may call into the program later and rant because that's what Bitter Mike does. But the HD Show with Bitter Mike on the Believe Podcast Network. So make sure you go check it out. It's on Apple iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere podcasts are sold.
That's
it. Or distributed or listened to. And also, and while we're here, we might as well go ahead and plug it while we're here. We're also doing a brand new Texans podcast.
Yes, we are.
As well. So the first episode
on the Believe.
On the Believe Podcast Network, we're gonna drop that probably on Monday. So the first episode's in the books. We're going to put that out on Monday. But the teaser's out there. Believe, B-L-E-A-V. B-L-E-A-V. So check it out and, you know, just give it a listen. You can find us on Twitter at TheFreddyD, at Henry Thomas NFL, at Tyler Drew Scott, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Okay. Because it used to be, what, Producer T. Scott, was it not?
Among...
I was going to say, we had a run there where it seemed like every other week T. Yeah. Scott was changing.
Well, you were always on him about the name. No, it's not good.
I was. Why not?
I mean, I started Twitter in this building, so... Because you were on me about it. I was like, Twitter? What are you talking about? You got to get a Twitter. Then he's like, well, what's your Twitter handle? Henry Thomas NFL. What? It works now.
In fairness, Henry Thomas NFL does bling. So yes. I'm not mad at you for that. You asked the question prior to the segment starting, and Moak Hamilton's going to be joining us in the next segment. Teddy J after that. Your question about what was what?
Yeah. Is it tainted? If you get a championship.
Oh, the championships in the Rona. No, I don't think so at all. I don't think so. I think everybody understands the climate that we're in. I think everybody understands that this is a situation that has never been seen before, and we're all adapting on the fly as we go. And, yes, will sports be different? Will they be – I mean, again, there's going to be no fans in most cases. You're talking about players opting out. You're talking about, you know, you can't high-five.
Yeah.
Right now. Okay, you can't – I mean, basketball players can't rebound for each other, all right? You can't because of the coronavirus, all right, during practice.
During practice.
Yeah, you can rebound in a game. You can rebound in a game, but during practice
so,
you know, or shoot-around. Yeah, shoot-around type drill.
You got to go get your own ball.
You got to go get – you better
– So I everybody hope, got their, little, their own name on the ball? Hey, this – Harden, that's your ball over there. Man, that's mine. Don't touch my ball, man. And then we're going to go play a game? That's dumb.
I hate to use the term new normal because it just – that
it's
sounds
like – It's like you're – oh, this is what we're doing, but in 3 minutes when the game starts, we're going to be doing something different.
It's this whole – we want everything to continue to be the same as far as how we go about executing games and sports and work and all that kind of stuff, but all – The factors that lead up, all the preparation, everything that goes into it has to change, right? Like we have to adhere to certain standards so that way, but the product, we still want, you know, we want the ingredients and the processes to be different, but we still want the product to be the same.
We want the same cake with no sugar, no frosting.
All right. Or the sugar's got to be a little bit, you know, we're going to dilute it down a little bit, or maybe we're going to use a different substitute for it. It's this is all so brand new. The NFL came out, and we're going to talk about more in the NFL in the 9 o'clock hour if we talk to Teddy J, but the NFL came out yesterday and said, okay, we're going to get rid of two preseason games. Okay. But now, you know, the NFLPA is pushing back and says, A, we haven't agreed to it. And B, there's a large contingent that says they don't want to play any preseason games. So let's just extrapolate that for a second.
That sounds like a meet in the middle. Take out two games.
Well, exactly. But then you got these other guys saying, "Well, but we don't want to play any because we don't want to endanger ourselves." Well, it's one or really? The other.
It's football. One or the other. Guess what? Every time you snap that button on the helmet, you're in danger. It's football.
I mean, hey, truer words have never been spoken, and you know a hell of a lot better than most of the people listening do when it pertains to that.
Once you cross that white line onto the field, you're in danger.
Yeah.
So we don't want to endanger ourselves for preseason games. I'm all for cutting back on two. Two sounds good. Four was cool for me when I played because when they played four, I knew I was only going to play in like maybe three quarters of one. I'm going to play. Exactly. 15 plays here. The most preseason games I ever played was as a rookie, and I was a starter, and I had to stay out there forever.
Because you threw that out there.
Yeah, I was a starter as a rookie.
You qualified that.
The very first preseason game I was starting.
And Third-round pick.
I had to play all three quarters and just because, you know, I was a young guy, and they wanted to see, well, let's see if he can.
Yeah.
And, you know.
High-energy guy.
Okay.
It's typically reserved for white guys.
Yeah, that's that statement.
Have you ever heard a bruh called a high-energy guy in sports? There's never been a brother called a high-energy guy on sports. Never.
Never.
Who?
Ever.
When have you ever watched a game and said, oh, he's high-energy?
Just what we do. So we have to qualify the white guy with the energy thing?
You have to.
See? That's problem in society
white guys are always high-energy. You ever notice white guys are always high something? High-energy.
High-energy. How about
high IQ.
Sneaky fast.
Oh, well, sneaky, deceptively fast.
Deceptively
fast. I mean, that's a given.
That's a given. He's deceptively fast. It's like, really?
How would you describe? I mean, how would you describe Christian McCaffrey? Is he deceptively fast?
He's just fast.
He's just fast.
The kid's a fast running back.
He's just fast.
Got some, got moves, quickness.
His dad might have been deceptively fast.
Okay, back in the day, was his dad? You know what?
You talk about some big 6'5", lanky ass dude running down the middle of the field.
He probably was deceptively fast until he ran over the middle on that Monday night game.
And he got nearly decapitated. Yes.
No, he broke his leg. Who? You don't remember that?
McCaffrey?
Yeah.
The dad.
Ed McCaffrey.
The dad.
The dad.
It was like the worst leg break I've ever seen.
Up there with Theismann?
It hit his shin and it just...
See, I don't remember. I'll tell you what I thought was worse. I thought the Napoleon Kaufman injury was always bad.
That's another bad one.
That one was not... Hey, listen, Alex Smith literally died, for God's sakes. I mean, can we give him some due?
Right. I mean, we're picking up bad injuries, so that makes my point. When you step on the field, you're in danger.
Bringing it back.
Yeah, bringing it right back around. It back. So, you know, no preseason game, every time you cross the line, is in danger.
But, you know, and that's the thing, too, is that that's been our complaint about the NFL is that... you know, it takes 6-7 weeks because the preseason has been reduced down to a joke in non-pandemic time.
Right.
What the hell is the product going to look like when you've had no OTAs?
Right.
No mini camps. All right.
No training camp.
And who knows what training camp's going to look like?
Because training camp's already 14-day joke. It's Club Med.
So training camp's already a shell of what it used to be.
Not even a shell.
All right.
I wouldn't even give it a shit.
Wouldn't even give a shell.
I wouldn't even insult a shell with what goes on in training camp.
So that's that. It's that the NFL product, and then of course, you know, there's going to be rife with controversy all year long, given
Absolutely.
All the you know, protesting and what have you that's going to go on. So the NFL is going to have a very, very, very different look. One thing that may not it's going to have a different look because all the games are going to be played in one location is going to be the NBA. Moke Hamilton from The Athletic is going to join us next, talking all things NBA, and we're going to run our scenario by him. Where do you see the Houston Rockets in this landscape, considering they're healthy,
yep.
They're fresh, and you've got
and they're dynamic,
and you've got a James Harden who is it to me. This is the best, short of a Chris Paul hamstring pull, this is the best he's been positioned to make a run at a title.
There you go.
And we'll see if our boy Moke Hamilton feels the same way. Don't you go anywhere. This is ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Lance and John out, because that's what happens when you're the PTPers of the station. So they're out this morning doing what it do on a July 2nd, rearing up for the pre-party of the pre-party to the 4th of July weekend. The HD Show remix in the house. T. Scott on the dot. Henry Thomas. I'm still that dude, Freddie D. And without further ado, let's welcome to the program, yes, a Jamaican in New York City. Longtime friend of the program. Talk about things changing.
Yeah.
Talk about things changing.
How'd it change?
My man is now a licensed attorney. Yes, that's right. We already knew he was one of the...
Congratulations.
We already knew he was one of the best basketball writers in America. Little did we know, he threw a little legal flair. This is now the second attorney we've had on the program
today. There we go.
I don't know what that says about us as a program, but without further ado, you can hear him on The Athletic. Excuse me, he's on The Athletic, and you can also hear him at 98.7 FM in the Big Apple, the one, the only, Mr. Moke Hamilton. Moke, what's up, my man?
Hey, what's good, Freddie? It's been a while, man.
It's been a minute. Yes, it has.
I'm happy to know that you still got my shine head music queued up, man. I definitely
Listen, Moak, if there's one thing we do here on the HD show, it's no, you will never go on another show that brings you on and gives you more love and gives you a better lead up.
Yeah,
than Henry Thomas and myself.
You guys are up there, man. You guys are up there. What's good, Henry?
Not much, man. Good to have you. And congratulations, passing the bar, becoming an attorney.
Absolutely,
that's big work, right there,
baby.
That
is big work.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to get them checks like Freddie. You know what I mean?
I'm just trying
to get my ends up a little bit, man. Like, you know, cost of living over here in New York City.
It's a little bit different over there, man. Listen, like I said, if you ever make it down to H-Town, hey, your boy Henry Thompson and I will make sure we show you a good time.
Hey, you know it.
Real quick, listen, we know the Rona has ravaged New York City. Obviously, the cases have declined tremendously there, so that's obviously great news. How are you maneuvering the Rona scene over there in NY?
Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate you asking that. Honestly, I mean, you know, I think it's been really tough, you know what I mean? But the past couple of weeks, you know, things are opening back up. You know, guys are able to see their barbers now for the first time in many, many months, you know. And, you know, real estate showings are happening, and life is kind of returning to normal in New York a bit. Now, I know that cases around the country are kind of spiraling out of control, but fortunately, even as we've been opening, people here in New York are wearing their masks. We've taken this thing very seriously from the beginning. So while I have the platform, I'll just make a public appeal to everybody within earshot to wear that mask. You know what I mean? It's made a big difference in New York City. And we hope as the weeks continue and we celebrate our 4th of July weekend that we'll continue to have good news here in New York.
Very well said, my friend. And listen, I'm right there with you. Full disclosure, I was not a big mask guy, but in the grand scheme of things, it's a necessary deal. You got to do it. And if we're gonna get back to normal, we got to do it. And listen, it's worked in Taiwan. It's worked in Hong Kong. They've got minuscule death rates over there. And guess what? The common denominator is they're all wearing masks.
Exactly.
Okay. It doesn't take a licensed attorney to figure that out. So no shot at you, my man. Congratulations on that. All right, listen, let's get down to brass tacks here. I said before this segment is started, and I've been saying this for a little while on our podcast, the scariest team to me in this whole NBA restart, and trust me, I'm not saying this because I'm in Houston. I'm not saying this because I'm a Rockets fan, and anybody that knows me knows I'm far from it. But I respect James Harden. I think he gets a unfair rap. I do question sometimes. I don't question his ability or question his mentality. I just think sometimes this dude just legitimately runs out of gas. And I think because of his demeanor, he catches probably more flack than he probably should. But this guy's coming off of 3 months of no NBA wear and tear. All the videos we've seen of him outside of hanging out with Little Baby, it seems like, you know, he's in pretty good shape. This dude is as well-positioned as he's ever been to win a title, and you've got a Rockets team that's fresh. You've got Russell, who's fresh, but more importantly, you've got James Harden, who's fresh. How scary is that to you when you look at this whole landscape of when this thing kicks off here in a few weeks?
I mean, I think they're very scary. You know, I think they're very scary. I think the layoff is going to end up helping a lot of guys, but him more than anybody, I will definitely say, Freddie, I think you have a great point, because he's the one that, for whatever reason, maybe it's mental, right? But a lot of people feel like it's physical. That's why he's kind of phased in some big moments in playoff games. And you know what? We're going to find out this offseason, right? Because like you said, you know, he's fresh, he's lost a lot of weight, and they're ready to get after it. So I definitely think the Rockets are right up there as one of the scarier teams from the Western Conference. I think they're a threat to win the whole thing. I think what's going to be really interesting in everything is I think that young teams are going to really have, like a team like the Celtics, you know, and even the 76ers, I might say that I like their odds a little more. Not more than the Rockets, but just more than under a normal playoff scenario. And the reason why is because I think that it's going to be a lot about the mentality and the psyche of the team that rises to the top. So guys that have families, you know, guys that have children, guys that are used to being around their cousins and their aunts and their uncles and stuff like that. If you're unhappy as a player with your life situation and life in the bubble over these next, you know, 2 to 3 months, I think that's going to have an impact on how you perform on the court. The teams with the young single guys that don't really have the big families and stuff, I think it might be a little easier for them to focus on basketball. So I think the Rockets kind of check that box in a way, and I think that teams like the Celtics and the Sixers check a lot of those boxes as well. So I'm really interested in seeing how all this stuff plays out.
Moak Hamilton, NBA writer for The Athletic, as well as 98.7 FM in New York City, joining us here on ESPN 97.5. I also feel, too, in addition to James Harden, we're getting to the end for Mike D'Antoni, all right? The guy's, what, 67, 68 years old. After this year, there's so many question marks, not just with the Rockets, but with the NBA and everybody in general after the season's over. But you don't know what Tillman Fertitta is going to do. I mean, this guy's taken a beating during the coronavirus with all his businesses. You don't know what he's going to do with these players. I mean, there's been rampant speculation that they're going to trade Russell Westbrook. I think that's more fodder than anything else. I don't see how you're going to punt on him after a year, especially if you make a deep run. But with Mike D'Antoni, I mean, I don't know that you coach any different, but for me, he's not guaranteed a year next year. I mean, this is the end of his contract. Opportunities like this aren't going to strike very often. Do you see him change anything up, or maybe being a little more, maybe being a little different as how he goes about his business? Or is it, hey, I've been doing this for this many years, this is it, all my cards are out, let's ride?
No, I mean, I spent a lot of time around Mike when he was here in New York, and one thing that I got to give him, there are a lot of critics, without even getting into how I feel about him or his style of play on a personal level. A lot of people are critical of Mike D'Antoni, right? And he's had a pretty good amount of success over the course of his career. One thing I got to give him is I got to give him his steadfastness with which he plays his way. He does things his way. You know what I mean? And, yeah. And this is a guy who walked away from the Knicks and the Lakers, right? And I think the Suns, too, actually, now that I think about it. Mike is a guy that's going to do things his way. He's going to play his style. He believes in his system. And I think that the Warriors winning the way, playing the style that they played, I think it kind of emboldened him. And I think in a way it sort of made him believe more in his system and in his style of play. You know what I mean? So I don't think there's going to be anything different about him. I don't think there's going to be anything different about the way that the Rockets play. And Freddie, I will say this. I do think that Mike also thinks that the writing is on the wall for his tenure in Houston. Because, yeah. I mean, most head coaches, unless you're Eric Spoelstra or Greg Popovich, you get maybe 5 years if you're lucky.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And there's only so long, especially a new owner, right? There's only so long that they're going to continue to let you swing that bat and not prove that you're actually capable of getting over the hump before they decide to go in another direction. So I think Mike sees the writing on the wall, and I think we've heard whispers about this potentially being his final year in Houston since last offseason, way before coronavirus. So, I think he'll be himself, and I think the Rockets are going to give it a good go.
No, I absolutely think so. And I had a chance of – I met with him a couple years ago and at his summer home in West Virginia. I mean, this dude's as genuine as the day is long. I mean, say what you want. I mean, Mike D'Antoni is a genuine dude. And I'll tell you what, you're exactly right. I remember asking him point blank about his style of play, and his response was, I'd shoot 73-pointers a game if we could. And he said it with a straight face and didn't bat an eye. So like you said, this dude is unrelenting and unapologetic. And you could argue, in a way, I'm not going to say he's hurt the game of basketball, but to your point about the Warriors, this style of basketball, the chuck and the threes and what have you, I mean, you could argue that Mike D'Antoni really was the impetus, and his style of play was kind of the impetus for this.
Yeah, it's not an argument, Freddie. I've spoken to a number of NBA players. I've spoken to a number of head coaches. Kenny Atkinson. So Kenny was the former Nets coach. He was an assistant under D'Antoni for the Knicks. But, I mean, if you go around the league and you ask people about small ball and about playing, playing a small guy at the four or at the five, I mean, you look back at D'Antoni's Phoenix Suns teams, right? And, you had a guy like Sean Marion whose name isn't really called that much when you talk about really, really impactful players. But you could definitely make the case that Sean Marion was Draymond Green before Draymond Green actually was even drafted. You know what I mean? You think about the makeup of those
good
teams,
point.
Joe Johnson, Quentin Richardson, Amari Stoudemire playing the five. And that was really, really revolutionary.
It really
was. You know what I mean? And, And at the time, we thought Mike was crazy. But here we are, you know, 10, 15 years later, and the whole league is playing that way. And like I said, across the board, guys credit him for that. And I think that's part of the reason why he's been, you know, that he's refused to try to be someone that he's not. He's actually doubled down on the style of play over the past couple of years.
No, he absolutely has. That's, like you said, I love him for that. All right, we're up against it, but I'll get you out of here with this. Clearly, the Lakers are the favorites in the clubhouse, and for good reason. I mean, they were rolling right before the corona hit. You got to like their chances. It looks like it seems like Lou Williams is going to play for the Clippers. So again, they're a scary out as well. You already mentioned the Celtics and the 76ers, a team that could pose a threat simply because of, you know, with the makeup of their roster. Name me one team right now that maybe nobody's talking about that you're looking at as that could sneak up on some people or come out of Orlando with a title.
Well, this thing is—I will say this thing is wide open, right? So there's a lot of teams that have a good shot and coming into the season. I think that there were maybe 5 to 6 teams that we would all name and say, "Hey, if things break right, these guys might be able to do something incredible." The team that I think is the dark horse is probably the Portland Trail Blazers, and I know it sounds crazy considering the Blazers aren't even in the playoffs right now, right? But that's why they have the 8 seeding games in Orlando.
Yeah.
So what I'll say is if Portland finds a way to get in, this is a team, assuming they have their pieces, this is a team that really, really struggled with injuries going back to last season with Yusuf Nurkic, all right? If they get in and they're able to get healthy and stay healthy, they're a team that I think has a lot of talent. I think that they've had trouble putting it together over the course of the season. And if they get in Orlando, I know if I'm the Lakers or the Clippers or anybody else, I don't really want to be looking at Dame time, you know, when the clock is running down and it's a 1 or 2 possession game. I know that.
Because you may end up having a rap song written about you. There's just no telling with Dame Lillard. That's what he said he's going to do. He said, don't worry about him during this bubble. He's going to stay in his room. He'll be chilling. He's got his mic. He's got his laptop. And he's ready to drop bars. So, again, that's a hot take, Moke. He's got a team that's not even in the playoffs yet as his dark horse. That is the darkest of dark horse. Moke, tell the folks at home where they can find you and if they want to know more about you or find more of your work, where they can go.
Yeah, well, you can check me out on Twitter, at Moke Hamilton. Appreciate the plug. As well as at The Athletic New York Bureau. You know, I cover the Knicks and the Nets and the NBA at large for The Athletic. And you can also hear me from time to time on 98.7 FM ESPN New York. We are here in New York City, and we're doing our best to keep safe. And I wish all you guys out there in H-Town exactly the same, you know?
Much appreciated, right. Moke, man. Nothing but love, homie, and we appreciate you coming on. Like I said, it's been too long, but we will certainly do this again. And, hey, man, stay safe out there and enjoy the playoffs, and we'll do this again very soon.
Thanks again.
All right, brother. Moke Hamilton, everybody. All right, coming up next, the train keeps rolling. Longtime friend of the program and just an all-around good dude. The one, the only, 3-time Super Bowl winner, Ted Johnson, joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
This is way too crazy. Hey, you do not amaze me. Hey, I blew cool from AC. Hey, Obama just paced me. Hey, I don't fabricate it. Hey, most of y'all be faking. Hey,
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Cool and Dre. This is the remix for the city. Let's just start snapping. Crack hit bleak on the jack, like, let's make it happen. Oh, it's
nothing
me.
Can stop me. I'm all the way up.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back into the program, everybody. The Bench is out. HD shows in. T. Scott, Henry Thomas, and your boy Freddie D. Without further ado, let's jump back out to the phone lines and welcome the gentleman that made all of this possible. Without Teddy J, there's no Freddie D and Henry T. Let's get that straight right now, first and foremost. Ted Johnson, 3-time Super Bowl. I mean, he needs no introduction here in Houston. He needs no introduction here in H-Town. What's going on, Teddy J?
What an introduction. I tell you what, man, what an introduction. It's good to hear both you guys on the radio, man. I'm doing great, Freddie, Henry. It's good to be on with you boys today, man. How's things?
Listen, man, it's, I mean, outside, you haven't caught the Rona, right?
Yeah, and you don't have
let's get that out of the way first.
It is so far so good. My theory is, and you're starting to hear a lot of people say this right now, is that I think I got it back in December.
Like,
I had something in my chest. It was something was living in my chest at the end of December, early January, that I've never felt anything like it. And right? It was an antibiotic. And the key thing was the antibiotics that I got from my doctor would not work.
Really?
And that to me signals that I had it before. So I'm thinking I've already had it, so that I'm good, and I'm just one of many in the herd community right now. So, but it's amazing what it's done to the economy up here, just things up here in Boston. This is more of a liberal blue state up here in Massachusetts, and we tend to err on the side of really going cautious. And so everything's really been shut down until just recently. They let in-room dining here, and so we'll see how that goes. I heard that, I think they kind of shut things back down in Houston again. So it's a bloody mess, man, and how it's going to impact our sports is going to be fascinating to see. I applaud all the leagues at least trying to get their seasons going, but when it actually comes down to it, is this thing, is football season going to kick off, basketball, hockey, it remains to be seen.
Hey, your boy Dave Portnoy has minced no words with how the Commonwealth has handled this shutdown. And, of course, we've seen videos of, your fellow Bostonites. I'd rather have the Rona than have my business shut down.
Yeah, right.
And that's that seems to be a prevailing theme over there.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, sports here, guys. I mean, it is so ingrained in the culture.
Yes,
it is these teams are historically great teams. They've been around for a very long time. Other than the Patriots, are kind of the new kid on the block. Not getting into the NFL until 1960. But baseball, obviously, the Red Sox had a huge history here. Celtics and the Bruins, and so it is just part of the everyday kind of, sports fan. It's just we're used to having sports here, and so to not have it, it's driving people a little bit crazy right now.
No, it certainly is. I know we're all ready for it sooner rather than later. So let's get down to the NFL, which is, in some form or fashion, is I don't want to say they've been totally unscathed, but, their offseason has gone off without a hitch. The draft is probably as good as I've ever seen it. Henry and I have talked time and time again about, being able to watch guys in their element. To me, is a lot more fun because you see, I feel like you saw more genuine emotion than, when everything's kind of stoic and superficial and on the big stage.
Oh.
Cam Newton is a New England Patriot.
It's like the NFL coronavirus. Go screw yourself with your coronavirus. We're still moving. This the NFL. The arrogance, just the way in which they conduct business is like, oh, we're making money. This whole coronavirus thing that's just plaguing the world. Don't even worry about it. Hold my beer. Watch what we do here, man. They don't
exactly
care, man.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see how. I mean, they did cut two preseason games back. I think they eliminated two preseason games as of yesterday. So maybe that's the beginning. But, man, the overall attitude of the owners in the NFL is we're not letting this damn thing slow us down.
Of course, the thing, though, with that NFL preseason deal, story came out this morning or late last night that the NFLPA has not signed off on that yet. And that apparently there's a growing contingent of player representatives said that we don't want any preseason games at all.
Right.
Well, you know how strong, Henry, our NFLPA is. I mean, they really stand up for those owners, don't they?
They knock them out.
Our union
bounce them around.
Those guys are tough. So it's funny, Fred, you say that. I know officially they haven't signed off, but they'll acquiesce. I just don't see the NFLPA putting up too much of a fight. And I think, they might have concerns, but at the end of the day, typically, more oftentimes than not, the owners get what they want, buddy.
Well, and we had Darren Heitner on early this morning. We asked him about, from a legal perspective, I said, how's this going to affect sports and will we see him in 2020? He said, no, absolutely. He said, well, especially with the NFL, he said, the problem with the NFL, and I know, working with both of you guys, I've heard this for years now, the fact that contracts aren't guaranteed in the NFL, guys have to play. I mean, that's the bottom line, and that's why, you know, the thing about the NBA and MLB is, yes, those contracts are guaranteed, so those guys have much more leeway than guys like yourself and Henry Thomas who, you know, put your body in harm's way on a regular basis. So it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out.
Yeah, it's a management and coaches league. The NFL is a coaches league. It's a management league. And maybe
don't tell Rod Woodson that.
It's such a successful league is because, you know, the players don't have the power. And, if Carlos Correa wakes up one morning and they're playing a game that day and he's like, oh, my back hurts a little bit, I'm going to sit this one out. Right. Then Carlos Correa sits that one out. Like, it's, you know, in the NFL, let's shoot that up. Let's get that warmed up. Let's see how it goes. It's just a completely different culture and mindset. And it's all because of the fact that those aren't guaranteed contracts. So there's just pressure to play. You know, guys don't want to, you know, miss out on getting paid. So that it creates a very a unique working environment that is unique to the other major sports because of the fact that players don't have guaranteed contracts. So guys are willing to risk more and get out there and play and overlook things that maybe guys in other sports wouldn't do.
Three-time Super Bowl winner Ted Johnson and a Houston native, when you get down right to it, Ted Johnson joining us here. All right, Cam Newton is a New England Patriot. I mean, we've been hearing about this for months, and, of course, obviously with the Rona and everything else, I mean, everything seems like it's been put on hold. But he is a New England Patriot. Henry and I did a yay or nay the other day about whether he'd be the starter week one. I think he will be. I think this guy's hungry. I think, you know, he's had, as Henry alluded to, he's had a year off. And
health-wise,
you two know better than anybody. If you're coming to play for Bill Belichick, you know what you're getting yourself into.
Well, you would think, typically, yes. But here's the thing with that, Freddie, is that you have a lot of accomplished players. There's a list of accomplished players that have come to play for the New England Patriots, and it fizzled out very fast, okay? It is the most unique working environment in all the NFL, okay? It just is. Belichick, the way he operates is just different than what most coaches, how their stylistically, just how they coach. And so can Cam Newton, who's the number one overall pick 9 years ago, a former league MVP, you know, Heisman Trophy winner from back in college. He's had carte blanche there at Carolina. I mean, Ron Rivera basically, you know, rolled out the red carpet and said, you know, this is your team. He was anointed the guy ever since he got there. Can he come here and accept a diminished role? Can he accept being a backup? What if he loses out to Jared Stidham in training camp? How is he going to be? Is he going to suck his thumb? Is he going to be a distraction in the locker room? You see time and time again these players that have been accomplished players come here and they're not able to handle the culture, not able to handle being treated like everybody else for the most part. And that's the thing. Everybody talks about Cam Newton's health, and I get it. I mean, the guy's got a ton of injuries, and I'm concerned about that too. But you just said, Freddie, and I don't know necessarily agree with you, is he going to buy in? Is he going to look at this as a last-ditch opportunity for him to revive his career and turn things around? Because let's face it, you know, he's had, I think, I mean, look, it's been a disappointing career. I mean, he's got three winning seasons in 9 years. I know he did have an MVP season in 2015, but what does he remember for that season? Not the MVP. It's not jumping on a fumble in the biggest game of the season against the Denver Broncos in that game. And that's what he's maybe remembered for. So his career, he's not lived up to really the hype that he's come in with. And so is he going to be able to kind of, you know, accept, you know, have some humility and be, you know, just kind of like everybody else and fall in line? That, to me, is going to be the biggest question. I mean, you would think that he would be the day one starter. That's what you would think. But Bill, here's the thing. He's only committed a little over $1 million minimum wage contract. Now, it's up to $6 million in incentives, and Bill loves the incentive-laden contract. But if he feels at all that Cam Newton isn't buying in early on in the season, he'll get rid of his butt so fast, and he'll be gone. So it could be one of those things where he could bring it in. You know, did he bring him in to maybe light the fire under Jared Stidham to put a little pressure on him? Did he bring him in to maybe kind of raise the collective confidence of the entire team. Let's just face it. If Cam Newton's walking through the door, and I'm the, you know, the starting strong safety for the New England Patriots, I'm feeling a lot better about my chances than I am with an unproven player like Jared Stidham. I mean, who knows? Everybody says a lot of nice things about Jared, and maybe he could be the real deal. We just don't know. It's just, you know, did he bring him in for that? Who knows? But it's a low-risk deal that Bill can get out of without really much exposure. I think he got a signing bonus around $500,000. But whoa. So it's low risk, high reward, just like Bill loves. He loves those kind of deals. And so it's kind of it fell in his lap. He waited a very long time to sign Cam. And so maybe Cam, it's kind of like, is Cam been humbled by this free agency this year? By not teams not going after him, not getting a $20, $30 million deal? I mean, he's playing for minimum wage. And that's got to humble you a little bit, and we'll see how he reacts to it.
Well, that's the thing. I said he wasn't going to be the starter because of the learning curve to be in this culture. But you also have to put in Cam's corner, he has taken this small deal, this small opportunity to be in a culture that he's not accustomed to, but he knows that it's a winning culture. And he wants to learn from it. So it may work out for him, but I don't think he's going to be a starter because it's going to be a bit of a learning curve. Do I think he'll play? Yes. Do I think he'll become the starter? Yes. I don't think it's going to be right away, though.
It'll be interesting, Hank. It's fascinating because you look at the style in which Cam Newton plays. Could he be more different than the quarterback that's been playing here for the last 20 years? I mean, Tom Brady.
Polar opposite.
Ball comes out fast. I mean, if he had the most throwaways in the NFL last year, he had like 33 throwaways. I mean, he does not try to extend plays with his feet. That's just not his style. He's not a guy that throws the ball deep. It is out fast, and it's on time, and it's on rhythm, and he doesn't take a lot of sacks, and he doesn't create with his feet. Cam Newton is the total opposite. Holds the ball. Plays develop downfield, so he's more of a down-to-field threat. His accuracy statistics are not good at all. I mean, he's a career 59% completion percentage. On third down, his completion percentage is one of the worst in the NFL in the last 5 years. And so there's just some things. He's not that good in the two-minute drill. Do you realize? I remember this so vividly. I'll never forget watching a game of Cam playing in 2015, his MVP season. And they said that he finally brought a team back for the first time in his career. He'd been in the league 3 or 4 years at this point. First time in his career, he brought a team back from being down in the fourth quarter with that season. He's not as, you know, and those are stats that Bill Belichick covets. I mean, he loves a high completion percentage, and particularly on third down, and somebody who can excel at the two-minute drill. So that's not, he doesn't fit what Bill typically does. However, having said that, Bill's a guy, believe it or not, he doesn't like to be shoehorned into one philosophy or one way of doing things. He will adapt and he will adjust, and he's always historically, his defenses have had a very difficult time trying to defend mobile quarterbacks. And so he's always heaped on huge praise for Cam in the past. So maybe at this point in his career, he's like, you know what, we got this unproven guy, Jared Stidham. We got Brian Hoyer. We all know about Brian Hoyer, right? I mean, Brian Hoyer is back. It's like, so it's not that inspiring. So why not with a truncated, you know, offseason where there's going to be a lot of teams that just aren't going to maybe be functioning on the highest levels because they just, it's a weird year for playing football. That maybe we throw this guy out there and it turns more into a, you know, street ball. And that's okay. It's not about timing. It's not about rhythm. It's about just kind of, you know, holding on and making plays any which way you can. And maybe that's how he feels like this season can maybe go. But it's a fascinating, you know, in Houston, we're so used to seeing quarterback competitions that you're just like, after this, it's like, thank God Deshaun Watson here because we don't have to watch another damn quarterback competition. However, here, this year in New England, I think it's going to be kind of a fun storyline to watch and see how it all plays out.
All right, two things real quick. One, and just listening to you talk about that, and you're exactly right about about Cam Newton because we were talking about him the other day on the podcast. And it's, again, you look at his stats, I mean – You know, I think sometimes we get lost in the fact that because he's such a freak of an athlete at the quarterback position, and he does make some big plays, but at the same time, just from an overall, like, just quarterback standpoint, yes, he does leave a lot to be desired. And listen, if you're 9 years in the league and you're a 59% passer, that's generally who you are. Now, that being said, right. He did complete 67% of his passes 2 years ago when Norv Turner came on board.
He did.
And he was 6-2 before the, you know, before he got hurt and the wheels fell off. So my question for you is this, and I'll throw it and we'll ask one quick Texans question after that. But to your point about, you know, he is what he, you know, as far as where he's been in his career and not being able to bring people back, you almost wonder with a guy like a Cam Newton, all right, who's been out of the league for a year, was hurt and on the sidelines, the longest he's ever been from a professional standpoint where he's had to really just sit and watch. You wonder if maybe his people or whoever said to him, listen, you can learn a lot from going to New England. Those things that you're deficient at, what better way to learn on the job if you're willing than to get better? Because the guy's 31 years old, and we all know quarterbacks can play into their mid to late 30s. And so if you're a guy if you're going to extend your career, Cam Newton, you're going to have to learn to throw in the pocket. You're just going to have to. So you wonder if in some way Cam Newton is going into this thing eyes wide open, saying to himself, listen, this is as much an insurance policy for me and my career as much as it is for the New England Patriots. And one other thing to that, who the hell is he going to throw to?
Well, that's good. You know, I mean, but you know, therein lies the rub, Freddie. It's up to Cam Newton whether or not he wants to. He's got to really kind of like empty himself, start over, be open to coaching, open to new ways, new philosophies. And you know what? And usually it doesn't, you don't just, you know, change a lot of what you're doing and it just happens, you know, it happens fast that you're just going to get it. It's going to take time. Does he have the patience? Does he have the ability to, learn new styles and new things? And that's going to be the key. I think more than health than anything, that's going to be the key. Hey, you saw Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson was phenomenal at creating plays and still is with his feet. And he relied on that way too much early in his career. He's turned into a phenomenal pocket quarterback. You know, maybe in camp you do it too. And you're right, 31 years old, Freddie? Like, that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of your prime for a quarterback. Now, for me playing linebacker, I'm at the end of my road. For Henry, a nose tackle, like 31 years old, you're like over the hill. But for a quarterback, that is like, that's prime time. So having said that, it's all going to be up to Cam, whether or not he wants to, you know, do what it takes to kind of revive his career. And then you mentioned the receiving core right now. Oof. Yeah, it is, N'Keal Harry, the first-round draft pick out of Arizona State that they brought in last year, missed half the season on IR, and when he did come back, him and Tom were not on the same page. Tom had no interest at really kind of incorporating the young receivers in this offense. So those poor guys, Dakobe Myers, who was an undrafted wide receiver out of, North Carolina State, he had phenomenal stats in college, but just he was an undrafted rookie. Tom had no interest in really throwing him, so it really came down to Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman, and they had, by the way, the Patriots have the worst tight end room in the NFL. I love Ben Watson, love him, but he's like 38 years old, so it just didn't work out. So you're right, Cam's not going to have a very impressive receiving core other than Julian Edelman, he's a stud, he really is. However, what he does have is he has an elite group of running backs. He has phenomenal running back and James White and Rex.
Rex Burkhead
and Sony Michel. And so that can bail you out of a lot of trouble. So it's not the greatest. And they did draft two tight ends in the third round. So who knows? You're right. Overall, his weapons that he has is not going to be that impressive. My guess is you will see not a whole lot, but you will see a lot of the RPO stuff that you saw in Carolina. They just won't major in it. They'll just do it a little bit here and there. You know what? If you can get your quarterback, Fred and Henry, to maybe run for a first down one to two times a game, where you just get a first down because of you evaded the rush and you ran out of the pocket and it made a first down. That goes a long way into extending a drive that could maybe be the difference in winning and losing a game. So. I think you're going to see a lot. He's not going to try and change Cam that much, I don't think, guys. I think he's going to just kind of accept Cam where he is, maybe tweak a little bit, but use what he's really good at. What is he elite at? He's elite at running the football.
Yeah.
So they will use that ability in a smart way, not a ton, to kind of to their advantage, because that's just what he's so good at. And you don't, it's the Bill typically kind of just whatever you're really good at, he will make sure that that's how he highlights you in that in your offense or defense. Not so much that he goes out there and hurt and gets hurt, but just enough to keep defenses off balance.
All right, 45 seconds. You've been out of H-Town for a little bit. Are you mystified? Are you surprised? Or are you just not at all at the power that Bill O'Brien has and in the way he's conducted this football team and where they're at right now heading into the 2020 season?
Hey, you know, look, I'm a fan of Bill O'Brien. I like Bill personally. He's a good guy. But let's face it. I mean, if you had to guess like 5 years ago when he was here and you heard all the problems that him and former general manager Rick Smith were having, and Rick Smith, you know, reports are that he was very close to ownership, very close to ownership. In fact, very close with Cal McNair. I would never have put money on the fact that Bill O'Brien would eventually get Rick Smith out of there and be the guy. And then, I mean, it is amazing. But I think a lot of it had to do with, and you guys, if you guys disagree, let me know. I think part of it had to do with that immediate success he had Deshaun Watson's rookie year when Deshaun came in the second half of the first game of the season, his rookie year, and then led the NFL in all offensive categories for the first 7.5 games before he tore his ACL. I think that right there is what ownership was like, wow. You know, this is, we got to keep Bill O'Brien around for that. But look, I'm a big fan of Bill. I know the results haven't been great. Last year was embarrassing. So I get it. Fans got to be a little bit frustrated right now. And it doesn't help when you trade the most popular player on the team.
Ted, my man.
Bag of donuts.
We're up against it.
Yes,
wonderful
we are.
Stuff from you always, as always.
Good
wonderful
you.
Stuff as always. Stay Rona free, my friend. Tell the kids what's up. Have a great year. We'll do this again before the season starts.
Miss you guys. Great talking with you. I'll talk to you soon, boys.
All right, big dog. Ted Johnson, everybody. Stick around.
Tuning in to the stations on the stereo.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
It's pretty dope.
The absolute best choice.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.